I'm so thrilled to have Jared and Kelly Mueller along with their boys, Ezra and Benjamin, and they're back with us and we're thrilled. I'm going to have them come to the platform. Would you welcome as missionary and pastors, Jared and Kelly Mueller, come? I'm going to turn it over to them, but I want to highlight, first of all, we're thrilled that Kelly and the boys are able to be here. They were scheduled to fly out last night, literally. And their airline was canceled, and that flight. So it's a special time for us, recognizing 4 years ago, in 2014, we released you from being on staff because of the vision and call of God to go to Central America and El Salvador in particular. You can tell that story. But what's been unique is so much fruitfulness that has come out of that. And you recently have planted a new church there called Hope Chapel, San Salvador. So on this Pastors or Clergy Appreciation Month, our missions committee that's been commissioned by our church to do great things for our missionaries, we wanted to give you a Pastors Appreciation gift and want to say, well done, pastors. Well done. Yeah, we're grateful to have you. Kelly and Jared, we just love you so much, and we're glad you're here to just express your heart to your church that continues to pray for you, support you in every way possible. But Kelly, would you like to say something before?
Sure.
We turn it over to Jared. Come on over.
Okay. Well, good morning. So glad we got another chance to come back to Hope Chapel. We were thinking last night, the boys and I, as we were going to the airport, how much we wanted to be with Jared one more Sunday. And then we got to the airport and they said, your flight's canceled. And we were like, yeah. So we are tired, but it's worth it. Anyways, also, I want to thank you for letting Ainsley come with me last week. We had a women's conference that I spoke at in New Mexico. And so she was with me last Sunday. And I just want to thank you for that. It was a really neat opportunity, and Ainsley was such an encouragement to me during that time. So, anyways, I just wanted to say hi and thank you, and we love you guys.
In Hope Chapel, it's fantastic to be with you again. I was just reflecting on our drive down here. We call her Grand Dolly. She's not our grandma, but that's what they call her, Grand Dolly. But we were driving just past her house, and I thought, boys, do you remember when we stayed there? And it seems like months and months ago, but it was just probably about a month ago. So we've been busy since we've been here, and we appreciate you guys supporting us and praying for us. This has been a very fruitful time, and it's always great to be back in our home church here in Hope Chapel in Huntington Beach. So I appreciate this opportunity to be here with you this morning. I know that a few of you probably were not here the last Sunday that we were here, so we did want to share a quick update about what we've been doing in El Salvador, and that was when we were partnering with you, and you guys were launching out Jesus House, so it was a busy Sunday. So we're back. If you missed that, we're going to share a couple of pictures with you, just a quick update about what we're doing in El Salvador. As Pastor Paul mentioned, we went down in 2014. We're serving the national church, helping get started youth camps, worked very closely with our national leader at the time. We continue to do that, but we've shifted into church plant mode. So I think the first picture actually has when we started to meet with a group with Mario and Justin and Hope. And the church, as far as the canine breed, has expanded. We now have two dogs. But that was when we started to pray, and we had been asked to lead a church. So we started praying in our living room. Back in 2017. Now this is where we are. This is not our entire facility. We rent from an English-speaking church in a really key strategic area of San Salvador. So the next slide shows our office. Our office is on the right, and then the kids go into the room on the left with the pink door. That's where we meet on Sundays, and this is what it looks like. It was a library, so I took the shelves off the back, painted it white so we can project up out there on the back and put the cross that we built, or I built, and we've got some sound equipment there. So they're actually running our church while we're gone. And then the next slide shows where we go. This is the sanctuary of the English-speaking church. Beautiful view of the volcano right out the window there. We've been using that once a month, and I have discussion opened up with the church board about moving up there every Sunday. So when we get back, we're going to be discussing that with us, because the church will need a bigger living room to meet in. This is Radio Sonora. As we hand out flyers, sometimes I go out there just for me, I feel like. I let people know about our church. We haven't had a lot of fruit of people actually coming from the flyers, but had some good interactions. And one of those was Henry Urbina, who said, well, I have a radio station. Why don't you come and announce your church and any ministry opportunities? So we've been there a couple times, and Ben was representing Hope Chapel San Salvador. And if you get our newsletters, Judy Secor was here last service. She has a radio program, and she actually invited me and interviewed me this past month. So you can get a link to that on our newsletters as well. Next slide shows young man Jorge. And I want to encourage those of you, this is to encourage you to have fun. I met Jorge. He was the caretaker of some of our friends have a couple properties that they use to do different ministry, and they live in them. But Jorge's been the caretaker for when they're not in the country. Well, Jorge had never given his life over to the Lord. Like many of us, we feel like we need to get everything together before we can give our life over to the Lord. Well, he was having that discussion. I'd go surfing with Jorge. Wonderful surf down there in El Salvador. So, but we just built this relationship, getting to know each other, talking with him, not officially discipling him, but spending time with him. My dad and brother were visiting, and he took us to these natural pools, and he got a call. He said, Jorge, don't go home. The police are looking for you. What had happened was in another beach, somebody had, I don't know, taken advantage of somebody or something had happened with some foreigners, and the police, whenever foreigners are involved, they got to put somebody in jail. It doesn't even matter if it's the right person. So they heard that some guy and his brother, who's called Jorge, had done this thing, no last name, anything else. Well, he hadn't even been to that beach, but his name's Jorge. And how many Jorges are there? It didn't matter. They just needed a Jorge. So, he didn't go home. He actually went out into hiding. He had a friend who was an attorney connected with the Fiscalía until his name was cleared. And it was about a week, a little less than a week later, he came home. Well, shortly after that, the Lord had really been like, what's going on? He had been getting a hold of his heart. He heard his name audibly at night, Jorge. He went out and he said, who's calling me? And it was the Lord there. And he gave his life over to Jesus. So this young man, yeah, praise God. This young man who has had people like me and others that have been sharing with him, well, he finally gives his heart over to the Lord. Kelly helps put together their wedding, and they get married. They've been together for many years, and now they're married, and they're serving the Lord in that way. And Jorge loves, he's like a kid. I mean, he's very responsible, but he just has energy that doesn't stop. So they're always doing ministry with surfers and skaters down on the coast. But on the other side, they hadn't been up there, and they were asked, Jorge, whenever teams come, why do they always go and they just work with the coastal kids? Why don't you come up here? We're poor up here. The kids need it. And Jorge knows that's an area, because of the gang problems, you don't go in or out without having invitation. Well, the guy asking him grew up with Jorge, and he's actually the leader of the gangs that are in that area. And he said, I will make sure nothing happens to you. But we want what you're doing there to be done up here. So long story short, they have a community center. It's not like a YMCA, but they've got a cancha, a football field. It's just sand, but they've got a little football field. They got a trampoline donated. They just had a contractor warehouse donated concrete so they could build a little half pipe for the skaters. And now Jorge, after a year of really walking with the Lord, is now pastoring this little community up there. So I just want to encourage you, go surfing with people, go golf with people. And what we're going to be talking about today is discipleship. But I want to encourage you, discipleship is all the time. Yes. It's what we're called to do no matter where we are. And you don't know the fruit, because I can't go where Jorge can go. You can't go where Jorge can go, but he can go there. And the time that I spent with him is helping the Lord minister to people because of that. So that's a cool little story, kind of a side to our ministry, but that's something that we get to do in El Salvador. Here's our worship team, guy on the left with the guitar. Hopefully when I go back, I've been having the other worship team work without me, so I may not have to pick the guitar back up when I go back. Mario's there. He's doing fantastic. I know many of you have been praying for him. He got a job. Double the minimum wage, so he's doing well. Katia and Danny, who's our Puerto Rican friends. Danny has the voice of Pavarotti, and I'm not joking. This man is a phenomenal singer. He's been leading the worship team while we're gone. And, of course, our percussionist Ezra is down there. Next slide, I think we have our OSL class. If you haven't gotten into OSL, you don't know what it is. It's translated OVS in Spanish, but get into it. Discipleship is happening in El Salvador as well as here. And the last one shows our youth event. As many of you know, we started youth camps and conferences when we first went down. Now the National Church is running it, and they decided to put their camp in November, and they're running it without us interjecting, which is fantastic. But we decided we've still got that vacation week in August. Let's do a youth event. So this was our youth event that we had just this past August. So the Lord's blessing our little church there in San Salvador. And I think the next slide has just some information how if you want to get in touch with us. If you don't get our monthly newsletters, please email me or Kelly and say, hey, I'm so-and-so from Hope Chapel. I'd love to get your newsletters, and you can connect with us, and there's more information on our website there as well. Okay? Well, let's pray, and let's get into the Word this morning. Jesus, we bless you. Lord, we want to, as I shared last time I was here, be on assignment, Lord. We want to be following the marching orders that you've called us to. So God, I pray that this morning you would open your word to us. Every one of us has needs. Every one of us has things that you've called us to do. Every one of us needs to hear a fresh word from the Holy Spirit this morning. Help me, Lord, to say what you would have me say, Lord. Speak to each heart in this place this morning in Jesus' name. And for those listening by live stream, Lord, I pray too that you would connect with them where they are, that you have called us to be disciples, Lord, and help us to grow so that we can disciple others. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this message is Keep in Step with the Spirit. Keep in Step with the Spirit. And we have been trying to do that. And I was just kind of going through the numbers this morning. In this furlough, it's been a month and a half. I have 2 weeks left before I go back. I have a couple more trips. But when all is said and done, we've been in 5 states, plus our mini vacation. We flew into the East Coast. We got to go to Washington, D.C. for a few days. So we've been in 5 states, 13 beds that my wife and I have shared together, in 10 churches. 8 of those we've been able to minister in, 2 district conferences, plus the women's conference that Kelly spoke at, and radio interview. So we have been spinning around. Maybe Evangelist Bill Janes knows what it's like to travel around, but it has been great, and we've seen a lot of fruit from it, but it's also been something that we're very appreciative of you guys praying for us and of Hope Chapel for supporting us and making a way for us to do what we do. But it's been great to tell a story, and we brag on you guys wherever we go. And one thing, side note, but we have really good pastors here. When we go out in the Foursquare family, we're not as well known as our pastors, and they'll say, oh, so where are you? Oh, we're Foursquare missionaries. We're in El Salvador. That's great. And our sending church is Hope Chapel with Paul and Ainsley Harmon. They say, oh, yeah, we love Paul and Ainsley. So you guys know them as your pastors, but what they do in the denomination, the influence they have, and the impact they're having just by actually doing what they did by sending out a church plant. Not only one, they sent us out. They sent out the Godwins. They sent out Mike and Emily Sanders, who are here, and they sent out Jesus House. This is a church that is sending people, so you're in a good place. What you see here is just the tip of the iceberg. This is a fantastic church that's doing great things that are impacting really the nation. So keep praying for your pastors. You have a good faith family that you're with. To start this message, I wanted to go back. Paul and Kathy Petruna were with me on that trip, I believe. When we were in Nicaragua in 2012. And there was a story, some of you may not know how we ended up in El Salvador, and this is just a piece of it, but this is a picture that I wanted to put up there because this is what we're talking about today, is really about being discipled and discipling others. But it came alive to me. This was a picture. I ended up working with the medical clinic during this team, and I was the interpreter for the prayer team because I'm not a medical technician. I don't have a medical background. Jason served with us in pharmacy. He's seen prescriptions multiply, so he's seen some miracles there. But I wasn't any of that, so I ended up being the interpreter. And in 6 days, we prayed for 1,200 people at 6 different Foursquare churches. So we were in the zone. We're praying in Spanish, praying in the Spirit, praying in English, and just in engaging with people after they'd go through the process, we'd pray for them. But something that I saw, and this was a part of what the Lord was working in me, because 2 days later, he would put in my heart that we need to prepare to go to Central America. We were in churches, and we would pray, and it would be like, and some of them praying against the wall. I remember one in particular. There was a 70-plus-year-old lady that was with us, and she had stomach issues, spent half the day in the bathroom, and one of the doctors was really, really gifted in the Spirit, and he said, we're dealing with witchcraft here. This is just hard. This is hard ground, and we would pray, and it didn't feel like anything was happening. And then right, I think, second to last day of going to the clinics, we were at this church, totally different. When we prayed for people, we saw the Lord move. This actual one, we had a photographer this day. This wasn't staged. We had the photographer with us this day. What happened was we were praying for a woman. She came out. We asked her, how can we pray for you? And she said, pray for my vision. She had a lot of time for taxis. You get on pickups and then they just stop and you jump off. Well, she had hit her head disembarking from one of these taxis, and she'd actually had blurred vision since that time. So we began to pray. And the Holy Spirit just came. We weren't yelling. We weren't shouting. Just the Lord began to minister, and we could sense his presence there. And then after, I asked her, ¿Cómo está su vista? How's your vision? She said, it's clear. I said, no. Tell me the truth. You know, you don't need to make me feel good. Really, how's your vision? She started to tear up. She said, no, it's completely clear. And a couple mornings later, this is when the Lord gave me a sheet of things to, and was saying, prepare to come to Central America. This is your time. And I said, but what am I going to do? What do I have to contribute? And he said, they need teachers of the word. And it struck me, because there's a lot of churches and there's better preachers. And I wanted to know, if you're calling me here, I was on board, but I want to know why. And then it clicked in me, the difference between this woman and this church and the other churches was how they were discipled. You see, this pastor had been teaching on the four-square gospel. It's not a new gospel. It's a complete gospel that we believe in Jesus as Savior, healer, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and coming King. See, he had been teaching those things. So his congregation, when they said, you're going to receive prayer, then they came and they said, well, I have a God who heals because my pastor's taught me so I'm going to receive. The difference wasn't how we prayed. The difference wasn't in our preparation. We did the same thing at every church we went to. The difference was the soil had been prepared. There's a scripture somewhere in Romans that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith came by her hearing the word of God. So it didn't have anything to do with us, really. We were being faithful and praying. And we had prayed up, and you know, there's parts to that, but really the difference wasn't in how we did that. So that's what I want to share with you this morning is, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, how do we do that? How do we get to the place where we just receive? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. When we talk about discipleship, oftentimes we feel it's a weight. This is more things that I have to add to my already busy day. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, Jesus says, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And then John writes in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. But if you're anything like me, serving Jesus has probably not been something that's real easy in your life. Being a disciple, doing the disciplines, those of you who have gone through OSL, I remember Pastor Mike and I, we were here when OSL was getting started, and it was a grind because people were having to change their lifestyle. We were having to change our lifestyles in order to do this. And how many of you say, you know what, it's like a cakewalk. Well, it's like eating a hamburger with fries. It's super easy. We don't say that, but somehow Jesus says it's easy. So who's right? Jesus. So maybe our understanding of discipleship is what's wrong. I think what Jesus is saying is we know that the law is not something we're under now, but the law does lead us to life. But he's saying, see, you're trying to come at it as though you're adding requisitos, you're adding requirements to your life, and that burdens you. But he says, the way I want you to do it is I want you to do it in a way so that these pressings, these moldings, these transformations, these difficult things you're doing actually begin to bring life to you. So see, it's both. There is a cost of discipleship, but the benefits begin to come. And as you do that, you begin to see life. There is a cost of discipleship. A few of the things I'm taking today are actually out of a wonderful book that I just went back to college, same Bible college I graduated from. I'm starting my master's degree, and I have the same book that I was given on my first semester. It's Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard. Phenomenal book. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. If you haven't read it for a while, pick it up again. It's great. But there's a quote in there that says by Soren Kierkegaard that says, it costs a man, talking about the cost of discipleship, he says, it costs a man just as much or even more to go to hell than to come to heaven. Narrow, exceedingly narrow is the way to perdition. And he says that the cost of non-discipleship is even heavier. So if you say it's difficult to be a disciple, yes, but it's much more difficult to not be a disciple. So I would say vale la pena. That means it's worth it. Go for it and be a disciple. Do you guys remember And this was when I was in my Youth with a Mission class in 1997, 98. You remember those bracelets that had WWJD on them? Do you remember what it stood for? What would Jesus do? Now, if you have one, someone after last service said, look, I've still got my keychain. I'm not knocking your what would Jesus do. I'm just going to play with it for a little bit here. But I want to say that what would Jesus do? It was a good conversation point. It was something to think about. Like if I'm on the 405 and I get cut off and I lift my hand and I get to pick which fingers I'm going to wave with, okay, I may in that moment say, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would not use that one. He would go like this, okay? So there is a cognitive part of it, and I'm all for that. I love study. I love getting into the Word. I love Bible studies. I love formal discipleship. But I would want to say that that's not completely biblical. That's just the first step. Because if we're to be disciples, we can't just go out and live life and say, okay, stop. Now, what would Jesus say to my kid right now? We just do. We just act. I'm encouraged because we're actually living right by Echo Park in the apartments of Foursquare and right up the hill. I haven't been able to actually go up there, but I know I'm close. The Dodgers are going to the World Series, so that's pretty exciting. Anybody excited about that? Anybody angry about that? But I've been watching this guy, and I don't really watch baseball that much until it gets into it. And if the Dodgers are in the playoffs, I'm going to watch it. There's this guy with a big beard. Have you seen him? Name's Justin Turner. Okay, I've watched him bat, and he's got an interesting style. He looks really relaxed, almost if you can see past the beard, and you look at his eyes. To me, he looks a little bit nervous. But game two, he knocked a home run under pressure to win the game for the Dodgers. Now, you can imagine kids, and they're going to say, you know what? I've only got two little hairs here because I'm in middle school, but I'm going to grow them as far as I can because I got to have that beard. I'm going to get the gloves, and I'm going to do the stance, you know, that real relaxed stance, and then I'm going to step in right at the last minute, and what happens? Nothing. Whiff. They miss the ball. See, a lot of times we want to do discipleship that way. Well, Pastor Paul's got a black Bible with the letters right in the middle, and he's got a couple little sticky notes there. I'm going to do that. But how come I don't have the fruit in my life that he has? Sometimes I'm saying it's good to look at externals and model your life after good people that serve the Lord. But really, it comes down to Justin Turner, I don't know from what age, has been watching the ball come. He's studied it. He's dreamed about it. He's ate, drank, slept baseball so that when he steps up there, what to me looks very relaxed is not. But he's going on instinct. You see, there's a cognitive part. He's probably thinking, okay, he's probably going to throw me a curveball. I don't know how all that works, but he's got that part. But when the ball leaves the pitcher's hand, it's all instinct. And I think that's what we need to realize about discipleship. We want to do it in this way where it's like, I'm going to think myself in. I'm going to do all these things. And we're like, I'm trying to grind this out, and I don't understand how these disciplines are actually bringing fruit in my life. But Jesus says what it is that you're going to begin to have life, and then you don't have to think, what would Jesus do? I am in you. And I live through you. I think we have a video ready that illustrates this well. If you could direct your attention up there. You might know this movie. It's kind of a fun clip.
I put my jacket on 1,000 times. I took it off 1,000 times. Okay? This is stupid. I'm done. They can beat me up if they want to. And you know why you only have one student? Because you don't know Kung Fu.
Okay.
What?
Come here. Check it on.
Ms. Han, I already...
Check it on. Check it on.
I don't have a jacket.
Check it on. Be strong. Check it on. Firm. Check it off. Remember, always strong. Check it off. Strong. Left foot back. Right feet back. Left feet back. Pick up his jacket. Focus.
Okay.
Always concentrate. Left back. Right foot back. Pick up his jacket. Stay. Pick up your jacket. strong. Hang it up. Hang it up. Hang up. And editing. Strike. Hang up and attitude. Harder. Harder. Good. But no face. Check out! Kung Fu lives in everything we do, Xiaodui. It lives in how we put on the jacket, how we take off the jacket. It lives in how we treat people. Everything is Kung Fu.
And I would say discipleship is in everything we do. It's in how you put on your jacket, how you take off your jacket. It's in how you respond to your children. It's in how you respond to your wife. It's in how you respond to being cut off on the 405. I hope you can grab from that, and if there's anything that my wife and I can share with you, we were in a place that was part of the formation that we went through. There were so many things that we did working with the staff here and working in the church and working under Pastors Paul and Ainsley that they don't make sense at the time. And those are spiritual disciplines. And I'm not saying it's not just reading your Bible and praying. Those are two components of it. But there is so much that we do that are spiritual disciplines. And then those things, what happen is there's that moment when whether it's the fastball that's coming at you and you have to figure out if it's a fastball or a curveball, or you've got punches coming at you, you just have to react. Discipleship, I want to encourage you. To be a disciple means that you get into this place where you are living and Jesus is living through you. That's what true discipleship is. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." See, the point of discipleship is Jesus is saying, if you do these things, your life will become light. As you grind through them, I will begin to live through you. And as I live through you, it's going to be a whole lot easier. And you're going to see things that you could never imagine. They're going to start to happen. So I want to encourage you folks, as I did last time we were here. Jesus' house was sent out, and we were with them on Friday, and it was fantastic. They're in the house in the living room, and we had a good time together. That's life happening, but it means that there is more space here. There's more room here, which means that maybe this thing that God has been shaping you and that he's been forming you in, don't be surprised if all of a sudden a punch comes flying at you and you're like, whoa. Or this opportunity opens and you're like, I feel like the Lord's nudging me to do that. Why is that? He says, because I've been forming you. I've been shaping you. I've been preparing you. It doesn't look anything like it because putting the jacket on doesn't sound like you're in a street fight. But the things he's been doing in your life has been shaping you and preparing you for what he's opening up for you. That's what discipleship's about. He said, go therefore and make disciples. But you have to be made into a disciple in order to make disciples. So I want to encourage you, church, to do that. There's a couple things, and this could probably spend 2 months doing it, but I do want to fly through a couple of the disciplines. I want to encourage you just for the sake of thinking outside of the box. It's not just reading your Bible, fasting, and praying. Those are not the only spiritual disciplines. Dallas Willard actually mentions a couple, solitude and silence. You practice silence for a while. Maybe got up at 3 a.m, no earbuds, nothing. Just quiet. It's a spiritual discipline. Frugality, chastity, that's an old word. That's not only for those who aren't married. That's for our minds, for everybody who's married or not. That's a spiritual discipline. Sacrifice, when you do things, maybe serving in the church, it's not convenient. The Lord sees that, and you're being shaped into his image by doing that. If you like any of these, there's that book I mentioned, A Spirit of the Disciplines. Now the disciplines of engagement, you've got study, worship, prayer, also celebration. What's celebration? Hey, if you guys got a potluck or you got an event going on, go to it. Celebrate life together. Yesterday was a wedding. That's celebration. That's a spiritual discipline, and that's fun, right? We can all eat, right? That's part of life. That's part of the spiritual life. That's a spiritual discipline. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Prayer, fellowship, confession. Okay, Pastor Paul's office, maybe for some of you, has functioned like a confessional, but it's more than just that. It's not just going to the priest. Confessional is meaning having relationships where you're open and people can be honest with you and you can be honest with people and know that it won't go beyond that. That's super important in our lives. Submission. Wow, there's a big one. We've been discussing this in one of my master's class. They talk about prophetic percentages, meaning that God is speaking to you and God is speaking to me. And when we come together, okay, that's the word of the Lord to us. And a lot of times I may feel in my journaling time that I've got a word from the Lord and I'm going to tell Pastor Paul what God said to me about what he should be doing or what. And then I have to say, but the Lord has given him that spiritual authority. There is a power and there's a release. I have seen people that were not able to function in that principle of spiritual submission and they burn out. Doesn't matter how much talent, how much ability you have. But I've seen other people like myself who the Lord has shaped me, submitting to Pastor Paul. This whole thing about El Salvador, that was directly submitted to him. If he said no, it would have been no. But he said yes. That's an important spiritual discipline. Okay, so this is the whole package. It's all the way down to how you put your jacket on and how you take your jacket off. Journaling, the Sabbath, physical labor. And this one's not on the list, but it's also in Dallas Willard's book. He says, go shopping in the poor part of town. Just go live with other people. See how they do life. I do that every once in a while. We're blessed with an incredible pickup, but sometimes I leave it at home and I get on the bus with 70 of my closest friends and I squeeze on there and I go and I put my phone in my socks so that it's not going to get robbed or anything. But you know what? I realize I need to, when the Lord's stirring me, I can't say, hey, we're pastoring a church and I'm preparing my sermon. No, I need to go out and live. These are spiritual disciplines so that the Lord can shape us and mold us. So what I'm saying is be open to the Lord shaping you in creative in fantastic ways. To close off here is Colossians 1:27. It says, the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And finally, where we had our starting point with the title, keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I want to encourage you, church, stay in step with the Spirit. I didn't say this last service, but it's just on my heart to share with you also. If in any way our life has been an inspiration to you, let it just be that this is a couple and a family that's tried to be obedient to the Lord. And we've stumbled our way through it. And I, as Paul would say, I boast of my weaknesses. If you feel you're disqualified, let me boast of my weaknesses and say it's worth it to follow Jesus. It's worth it to follow Jesus. And I also want to say with that, we need your partnership. We stay on the field because this church prays for us. Many of you are on our monthly prayer list, not the newsletter we get. We send a newsletter out that says, this is what's really going on. We're not going to put it in our newsletter, but pray for us. You guys are keeping us there. You are directly and intimately tied to the ministry that's happening in El Salvador right now. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to say, keep it up because we aren't done yet. We feel like we're just getting started. Would you stand with me this morning? Feel the Lord speaking to my heart. Even during worship, he was reminding me of my message. And I finished last service by saying, as Jeremiah heard from the Lord, he said, go watch the potter. So see that lump of clay? And he asked Jeremiah, he says, what right does that lump of clay have to tell the potter how to shape it? Clay can't even talk. Unfortunately, we are clay that can talk. But I want to encourage you this morning, if the Lord's shaping you, if he's molding you, say, do it, Lord. Have your way in me. And I want to ask as you would bow your heads and close your eyes, that first step to becoming a disciple is that you say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Maybe you're like Jorge, you've heard about the Lord, you've been running the race and you just want to get your life right, but you haven't completely given your life over to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not absolutely sure that Jesus has written your name in his book of life, that you have received him as Savior, I want to ask you this morning that you would just slip your hand up and say, this morning, I want to take that first step to becoming a disciple, which means I give my life over to Jesus. If you have not done that this morning, would you just slip your hand up? I want to agree with you this morning. Anybody else? I think we see three hands that went up this morning. I agree with you. best decision you could make. This is an eternal decision. I want to ask that we would all pray this together. We're going to pray this for the sake of those that raised their hand that said, Jesus, I'm giving you my life. Would you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, here I am. I give you my life. Shape me. Mold me. Forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Make me new. To the best of my ability, I will give you every day of the rest of my life to serve you. Help me, Jesus, to be your disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Lord, I pray for all of us here that we would submit to that work that you're doing in us, Lord. Thank you for those that gave their lives to you today, Jesus. But I'm here again. It's been over 25 years, and Lord, I need to say again, Jesus, today is a new day. Take over today. I want to serve you. Do your work in me, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bows of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name.
Well, friends, what a wonderful morning. So glad that you came to Hope Chapel. What an outstanding display of the wisdom of the Lord with our messages over these last, really, 2 months. And Jared, thank you. Kelly, I was just over enjoying the children's ministry over there and to see these young little lives. And I said, oh, by the way, they were just talking about that little rock. One of the little students said that God used to slay a giant from a little shepherd boy. And I said, you know, we've got some young men here and know what it is to be used of the Lord. So Benjamin and Ezra Mueller came forward. And I said, what did the Lord use in your life? And what were you afraid of? And they said, well, going to El Salvador 4 years ago. It was an amazing little journey. And our kidmen director brought out the map. Where's El Salvador? This little tiny piece on this big globe. What a great thing that the Lord's doing in young people's lives. And the spiritual discipline is a great way, thank you, for allowing us to walk through what we even had for this morning, to eliminate anxiety and fear. For some of us, we will never journey out or venture because we're gripped with fear, but no more, amen? No more. And the spiritual disciplines, as even the Mueller boys went to El Salvador, starting to see over the last 4 years the development, the transformation of their lives. That is for all of us to step out. Please don't sit in with the status quo. God has things for you to enjoy and do even today. And so we've been learning to listen for the voice of God, learning to listen for the will of God. And now don't let fear keep you back. Just do those things that we were just encouraged to do, the disciplines of just living and doing what you know is the right thing to do, watch how God will start to open up things in your life. But fear and anxiety will keep you from God's very best. God's very best. Be careful of what voice you're listening to. Be careful. You will all be a success. God intends for that to happen. He'll withhold no good thing for those who walk uprightly. Continue to do so. Well, we're just thrilled to have you here. I want to invite David, would you take our missionary couple, Jared and Kelly Mueller, to the double glass doors as people exit? They can just tell them how much they value and appreciate the Muellers and maybe even sign their email off to them. We never know. We hope that you'll come again. We're thrilled. We've got our young adults gathering for their life group. So let's pray you off a blessing. We're looking forward to seeing you again real soon. Father, thank you for your hand on our life. And thank you, Lord, for the way that we can hear your Spirit. Let us walk by the Spirit. Lord, help us to walk by your Holy Spirit. Lord, you have promised us. We've declared Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So Lord, we believe this because you do not lie. We trust you now with every situation we're facing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. Have an enjoyable day. Go watch the air show. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.